I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
One is Mark and John's the other. They love the holidays and the presents.
It's Dork Queens, it's Dork Queens, it's the Mary of the Obvious Jubilee. It's Dork Queens, it's Dork Queens.
Five golden rings.
Hello. Oh,
welcome to Duo Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Oh, Mark, my heart is warm. Please let everyone know who's joining us this week.
They're an actor, writer, director, and co-host of the podcast Opening Weekend. It's Jason O'Connell.
Yay. Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you for being here. This is our last Christmas episode of the year.
Yes. Our final Christmas episode. You're here.
I feel so honored. I love them. From Gremlins. I was listening to that the other night. The Gremlins episode.
Classic one. Mwah.
Chef's kiss. Love it.
Before we get into the movie, Jason, you went to college with John. Is that right?
That's correct.
Now, I would be at fault to not ask for any embarrassing stories about John. If you have,
I'm sure he doesn't have a one.
Oh my God. I don't really have any embarrassing. No, we would just, you know, I mean, there. If it's embarrassing for him, it's embarrassing for me. We would just, sometimes a Madonna listening party or two.
We break out. You know, sure. We did bond because we sort of first became friends because I had, and this is a perfect timing because it's like the anniversary, the sex book. Right. I had the sex book. And so there's a lot. It was like my first year at Hofstra.
You cracked open the foil.
Wow. And that horrible binding. And so I made friends with a lot of people because they're like, you have the sex book, and like people come over, we listen to erotica, we'd hang out, I'd give them their space in some cases. Yeah.
You give them the ew.
No, I didn't.
This is why I keep it in the wrapper, John.
Yeah, I didn't need to be alone.
No, you keep yourself in the wrapper.
I see.
Yes, no, I think I sat there with you and maybe
that's
Cuba,
true, yeah.
And we
yeah,
we
Greg Cuba. Yeah,
well, John offered shoulder rubs to people.
You guys sure? You seem really uptight. I don't know why.
There was something, it was about as wholesome as reading Madonna's sex could be. You know, it's just like sitting there, maybe we had a little a fresca or something. And we just kind of,
sure, a PBR, you know. Right.
it was December of 92, I think, maybe November. I don't remember.
Something around that time, yeah.
Right around this time. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I did. And what else did we do? We did a very, bad we did that play together
called Gammergerton's Needle from like the 1500s or something
the
like
plays
that.
From the 1500s?
Yeah, it was like part of like the Hofstra Shakespeare Festival. So it was like old restoration plays.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was like a 40-minute play that was performed twice, I think. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't much of a run.
And but, I believe our closing night, someone in the audience shat themselves.
Oh, what?
Because it was so good.
No, I don't know what happened, but we were like on stage and we're like, people are leaving in droves. It was like a Sunday matinee. We're like, what's going on? It was so crazy. We didn't get the smell. The smell had not hit the stage. But we were all backstage going, what is going on? It was so crazy that like just huge sections of the audience were getting up and leaving from this play. It was like, there's nothing controversial about this play. It's been around for 500 years, you know? Like,
right.
And then we found out later, someone had an accident.
Yeah.
We're like, like, man, we're really sticking it to them. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Take that, Long Island senior citizens.
Well, that's when you start seeing.
I would imagine a theater audience is probably full of people who shit themselves constantly during most productions, I would assume.
That's actually true. It was the best lesson
that Hofstra taught us.
Exactly. Just make way for the elderly. Yeah, I think I thought it was like somebody had a heart attack and they were going to get help or something. But the sad thing is, not that many people would leave to get help.
No.
People would leave. The smell of shit.
Someone else got up. Yeah.
Exactly. I saw that guy make a move. I can enjoy the restoration hijinks. Oh my god. And then I directed.
That's true. John's, he directed. One of my one-person shows, Dance with Pitchforks.
Confessions of Farm Boy. Yes. I've seen that.
You saw that one, yes.
He did.
Yeah, I did out here in L.A., yeah. So Jason and I, we long in storied history, go back. But you, Jason, have a one-person show about Batman.
Interesting. Yes.
Interesting, called The Dork Knight.
Mm-hmm. You are wearing a Batman shirt right now, we should point out.
I have many Batman shirts.
Excuse me.
No, I didn't mean it like that. I'm just saying I had this is an actual Batman Returns shirt from 92.
Yeah, and it still fits. God bless you.
Well, I was morbidly obese then too. No.
Swimming in it.
I know. Yeah. This is like, I don't know. This is like maybe a 1XL.
Okay.
But it's I found it at I was at my mom's recently and I found it. I was like, oh my God, I still have this shirt. And then I brought it home and I thought, when will I ever wear this? And today's the day.
This is the better day.
Yeah, but no, the Dork Knight is it's an autobiographical show. I've done it at Joe's Pub and other theaters here in Manhattan, the Cherry Lane and some other venues.
Yes.
And it's about me seeing through the prism of my obsession with the Batman movies, specifically from 89's Batman when I was in high school, and it synthesized. It was everything that I was very obsessed with Nicholson and Keaton as actors when I was in high school. Those were like my go-to guys before they were ever in this together. And then I was also a big comic book fan when I was younger. And so it kind of felt like the universe made a movie for me.
So what happened when you first heard that first Batman was happening? Because also that was a time when like no one was doing superhero movies. And I remember before that first Batman came out, people were like, this is going to be ridiculous. Because all anyone thought of a Batman was the TV series, which was very campy. And so people were like, this is going to be a flop. It's going to be terrible.
Right. Especially because they cast Michael Keaton and they thought, well, they're clearly leaning into comedy. And so it was a really interesting kind of left turn to cast somebody known only for comedy at that point in what was at that time a really serious version of the character. I didn't know what to expect from it. I just loved that all the players were involved because I also love Burton too Beetlejuice especially. And that was right after, I think they waited for what I remember reading was that Warner Brothers was waiting for the opening weekend to see how it did before they would announce that they were going to give the green light to Burton directing Batman. So it all kind of tumbled forward very quickly. Like I was already into those actors. I remember going to see Beetlejuice on opening night and it kind of blew my mind. I thought Keaton was amazing. I just loved the whole sensibility of it. And then it was like a week later, they announced those two guys are making a Batman movie with Jack Nicholson, who was I was my god and savior. And so I didn't know, everything short-circuited. And then it was a year of just waiting, anticipating the film. And for me, it didn't disappoint. I had some friends who were kind of let down by it, either because it wasn't serious enough, or it wasn't Tim Burton-y enough, or whatever, right. You know, but I love it.
I remember the time it came out, you're like, oh my God, it was so dark. But then you watch it now, you're like, it's fine.
Yeah, it's pretty cartoony. Exactly. <You know? laughs> Exactly. And the funny thing is then, right, a couple of years later, this one comes out and people said, oh, well, now he's pushed it too far with the darkness. Dark. Yeah. But I think in rewatching it, I'm like, this might be the campiest of all the original ones, meaning the first four in the 80s, 90s. Really? I actually think, I don't know that it's the gayest, but I think it might be the campiest, but I don't know. I mean, maybe not.
Do you have how would you rank like the Nolan ones and then this new one, the Batman one? Like, do you have a favorite Batman actor? Bactor?
Probably Bactor. Bacting is always important. You got to bacting.
It's not just the front.
If you can. Exactly. And I actually have, I've worked with directors who are like, I like bacting. I like to see the back, you know, on stage. It's
like, you're like, oh, while rubbing your shoulders. Yeah.
Exactly. Nothing but
always in a steam room when they say that.
Take a look at this sex book. It's out of the foil.
Okay, erotic, John.
Erotic.
You want me to direct you in what now? I still think Keaton is my favorite in terms of the actors. And then it would be, for me, Christian Bale. I really do love the Dark Knight trilogy and the first two Burtons. I love those kind of equally for very different reasons. Don't care for the Schumachers, and I don't care for, I don't like the Ben Affleck stuff. And I know I'm in the minority, but I didn't really care for the Batman. It didn't really do it for me.
That was the Batman, I thought, was the first time Batman himself was the most interesting character in the movie.
I think the Nolan movies he was. I think the middle one,
compared to Heath Ledger's Joker,
But that's only one of the three movies. I think he was the first and the third.
Bane was good.
So is it just because there aren't memorable villains in the new one? Maybe that's it.
Probably. Colin Farrell's pretty fun, I think.
He's good.
He's having a good time.
I didn't care for Paul Dano.
He was real goofy.
Take on the Riddler.
He got real goofy.
Yeah. Yes, I didn't care for it, but I loved Colin Farrell, actually. Yeah, he was my favorite.
I'm excited for that. There's going to be like a Penguin series.
I'm into. But I don't like that little scene with the Joker in the prison.
We don't need it. We don't need Joker. Give us Dr. Zazz. What's his name?
Mixoplek. Yeah.
Not Dr. Zazz. What is it?
Crazy doctor. Victor Zazz. There's Victor Freeze.
Victor Freeze. And then Zazz is like, is he a doctor? He's just
a psychiatrist.
A senator?
No. He's like a psychiatrist who analyzes.
Isn't he the comptroller of Gotham City?
No, he's the provost. The provost.
He figures out Batman's identity is his thing. Like he's like a psychiatrist. He's like fucked up.
He uses psychiatrist tricks to figure out Batman's identity.
Yeah, you know, as you do. Sure.
Are you into the comic books, Mark? Because I'm not anymore. It's been a long time since I've read any of them.
I think the last thing I read was the Court of Owls, like run.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a feeling like whenever the Batman 2 comes out or whatever they call it, because I think Batman Begins, as much as I do like it, I think it wasn't until The Dark Knight came out and I was like, well, I really like this. But then I went back and kind of reappraised. So it might have that effect for me too, if the second one ups the ante and stuff. But
I like all the Nolan ones. I don't think they're bad by any means. Like the third one, I thought was, I like that they actually like ended a Batman. It felt like, oh, this is a way to end a Batman story. Like this is how Bruce Wayne's story can end. And I really like that.
That I loved that about it too, and I know a lot of people say, "Well, he would never retire." It's nice to have a story that has an actual
end.
Let him have an arc. Let him have a happy ending.
Sure,
not a sex book massage Hofstra University campus happy ending.
Thank you, no. John.
Oh well, there's nothing wrong with that either.
We have a few more people joining the Zoom to confront John with his
crimes. No, but I say that in my show too. I actually have. I found the Dark Knight Rises. I actually found it very cathartic as a fan of the movies and as somebody who grew up with the character and grew up with the films, and then found myself saying, "Wow, this is very surprising that they chose to actually end the story and focus on the man behind the costume and what he would really want." And he says it in Batman Begins a lot. He talks about not wanting to do it forever, which you never really hear a version of Batman talk about. It's mostly just there's the mission, and it's like, all right, okay, calm down.
But ironic, and we also just lost the best Batman ever, I would say, would be Kevin Conroy.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Honestly, I think he's probably the best.
This is an unpopular opinion.
There we go. You don't like
just in time for Christmas.
No, I like. I know he's wonderful, but I guess it's that the fullness of the performance that you get from an actor in a live action.
Sure,
I get what you're saying.
It's the thing that sense. It's hard when somebody says he's the best one, and then it's like, well, these other guys who put on that costume and had to figure out a walk and had to punch people.
Robert Pattinson had a great walk.
Great.
He did. He had a cool costume. I love that the cowl was kind of
it
was very Adam Westy in its way.
You could see
the seams of the nose and stuff. Right. I thought it was pretty. All right. I love the Batman. What am I
there
saying?
There we go.
His heart grew three sizes.
And on that cheery note, today, if you couldn't figure it out, we're talking about Batman Returns specifically. John, what's the deal with Batman Returns?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Batman Returns. It was directed by Tim Burton, written by Daniel Waters, based on the DC Comics character Batman. It's a sequel to the movie Batman and the second installment in that, the 1989-97 Batman series. And superhero vigilante Batman faces off with the wealthy industrialist Max Schreck and deformed crime boss Oswald Cobblepot / Penguin, who seek power, influence, and respect regardless of the cost to Gotham City. Their plans are complicated by Selina Kyle, Shrek's formerly meek secretary, who seeks vengeance against Shrek as Catwoman. It stars Michael Keaton, Danny DeVito, Michelle Pfeiffer, Christopher Walken, Michael Goh, Pat Hingle, and Michael Murphy. It was released on June 16, 1992 and made $266.8 million off a budget of $80 million. Roger Ebert called it odd and sad, but not exhilarating. And Kenneth Turn of the LA Times wrote, Burton's dark, melancholy vision is undeniably something to see, but it is a claustrophobic conception, not an expansive one, oppressive rather than exhilarating, and it strangles almost all of the enjoyment out of the movie without half trying. Despite that, it received 2 Oscar nominations for Best Makeup and Best Visual Effects. Didn't win either of them. DeVito was nominated for Worst Supporting Actor at the Golden Raspberry Awards, and Michelle Pfeiffer was nominated for Most Desirable Female in the 1993 MTV Movie Awards. And that is the deal with Batman Returns.
So, Jason, we asked you to pick a Christmas movie or holiday movie, whatever floats your boat, and you chose Batman Returns. Why Batman Returns?
My Batman obsession plus my love of getting presents, I really like this movie. I really do like it. And I know, a lot of people say, well, how much of a Batman movie is it versus how much of a Tim Burton movie? It's Tim Burton all the way. And we find out, like with Edward Scissorhands, we're like, oh, this guy's really... he's got some issues surrounding Christmas, right? And then he continues to explore those for like 3 movies in a row. And I love the Tim Burton-iness of it all. And I actually said, we haven't reviewed this one on opening weekend yet, but we did do our favorite superhero movies. We did like a top 10 list, me and my co-hosts, Fred Berman and Dan Matissa. And I was the only one who had Batman Returns in my top 10. I think it came in at like number 9. And what I said about it was, is it a great Batman movie? I don't know, but it's a really great Michael Keaton's Batman movie, because Michael Keaton's Batman is odd and weird and kind of antisocial and a little and depressive and, kind of has lots and lots of issues, and he's dark and so on. And that's the movie. That's the world of the movie. And I like it. I like that. I like all the fractured freaks, and I like Christmas movies that, like I said, Gremlins is also a big one for me that I love it. I don't feel it's just that it's set at Christmas time. I think there's something, there's the sour and the sweet mixed together.
The grotesque of it with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You love a grotesque that. Christmas.
Yeah, well, I just saw Violent Night.
We saw it too. Loved it.
Did so much fun.
So did I. Loved it. Yeah, I took my mom. Great. My mom loved it.
Your mom loved it. Hilarious.
Wow.
Is she Dave really Harbour fan?
No, she isn't.
Not
my niece
now.
Is.
I bet
my
she's now.
Well, yeah, she thought he was wonderful. But my niece is a big Stranger Things fan. She's only like 11.
Oh, yeah.
wants very badly to go see it. And I'm like, no, I don't think it's for you, but she loves David Harbour. And so do I. I'm like, he's so good. I just want to be him. I really get it. I do. He's just so
that's
good.
That's what straight guys say when they want to fuck somebody.
Yeah.
I guess that's what it is.
That's what you're feeling now is you want to fuck him. That's what that is.
It's fine.
He's handsome. He's funny. He's charismatic. He's
beefy. Seems fun. Seems strong, but not in a steroidy way.
Exactly. Yeah, he takes off the Santa suit.
Like he plowed a field. Yeah.
He could plow my field. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So it sounds like you're a big fan of Batman Returns.
I am.
What about you, John? First time seeing it?
No. I definitely seen it when it came out. I imagine I'd seen it once or twice around, you know, since then. It's not something I saw a lot, but rewatching it. Yeah, it's funny because it does kind of feel like a Christmas movie, especially at the beginning and especially at the very end.
When there's all the presents
there's something about the end, especially. What I think is interesting, like hearing you talk about this being like a great Michael Keaton Batman movie, is that I feel like with this movie, Michael Keaton's great, but he's not in it that much. He's not the focus of it. Like there's not a lot of... And I actually really appreciate and like that. And I think if you're going to do a franchise with a main character, you have to have times where you let them rest instead of being like, no, it has to be like, I think a more egotistical actor than Michael Keaton would have been like, we need more of what's going on with Bruce. We need more of this. And it's like, no, we don't. We kind of just need him to sort of do like, here's like, have a movie or two where it's him just sort of punching the
like
clock
a James
as it
Bond
were.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't always need an arc.
Yeah.
He does have an arc in this.
He does, but it's not like forced. It doesn't feel shoehorned or like you need to have it because you need to have it.
He's very interesting in that, because I've read this too, that he actually went through the script and he would say, like, I'm saying too much. I'm saying too much. Like he would cut lines. Yeah. I wouldn't say much there. Bruce wouldn't say much there. Batman doesn't talk that much. And he kind of really shaved it down to like what he thought was essential, you know, or like, in terms of like suggestions on the set. Because when you look at it, it's like it's like 25 minutes before he even says anything. Yeah. And I think he says, "We'll see." He's Batman. I think the first thing he says, "We'll see." And then he goes away for like three more scenes. I think the first time Bruce Wayne talks, like with Michael Keaton's voice, is when he's sitting there watching The Penguin on TV. And at that point, a lot of shit has happened. And I'm like, oh, right, Batman's in this. But in a way, it feels like, and I think this is something that's very Tim Burton-y too, I feel like Catwoman and Penguin and Shrek are all like kind of extensions of him in a weird way, like phases of his person. I mean, the Catwoman
isn't that
is
essentially
desire.
Every Batman's rogue gallery, though? Like they're all, like,
I guess so.
Psychological
but that's why
slices of his brain. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Which, but then that means that if you examine those, and then they're all like points on the wheel of Batman, and he doesn't have to quite comment as much on that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the twisted orphan, like everything that he feels about himself is, I think, embodied by the Penguin, and then what he could have been, the billionaire gone wrong, that's Shrek. I mean, there's a lot. I don't know. I think there's something, maybe I'm giving it too much thought, too much credit.
How dare you? No. On a podcast where we're talking about this for 90 minutes?
No, but you know what I mean.
No, but I really did appreciate his not, just his sort of comfortableness at sort of hanging back a little bit, and how well that worked well for the overall movie. Yeah. But how about you, Mark? What is your history with Batman
Returns?
Well, you
didn't say if you liked it or not.
Oh, I think it's great.
Oh, okay.
I think it might be. I haven't rewatched the first one in a long time, but since we have watched all the other ones in this, is there like a word for this sort of like these four movies? Because they're not all Tim Burton.
Not really.
They're not all, like they're four of a piece, you know, like.
Yeah, I think they called it at one point. There's like a box set that's like the quadrilogy or something. But I mean,
I have a box set. Hold on, one second.
Yeah, it says something. Or the anthology. I think it's like the Batman anthology, 1989 to 1997. Uh-huh. I think they have Pat Hingle and Michael Goh in comics.
Those two and all of them.
The four Blu-ray thing I have with the four, they just call it Batman Collection. So they really phoned it in with that one.
Gotcha. They're like, we test group this, and this is everyone
Batman,
liked it.
A collection of Batman movies. What more do you want?
But
so
I
you
think
like
it might be, it might be my
the...
favorite of the four. But I would want to rewatch the first one.
Pretty popular
I said that.
Opinion. This is definitely better than the first one, I would say. It feels more confident and sure of itself.
It definitely does because Burton was very much making a movie that was more of a kind of a studio movie last time. I mean, I think he just had to answer to so many masters. I really like the first Batman. I mean, I love the first Batman, and I might love it more than this. But it's not as this is so personal, and this is so, like you say, Mark, assured. This is so much more confident in its vision, because the guy behind the wheel is really making all the calls. And I think in the first one, he was just answering to so many people, producers in the studio, in a way that he, you know, his deal this time was, I get to do whatever I want. You know? My wife, this is her favorite one. This is her favorite one.
I think it's a lot of, like, they just had it at the New Beverly a few weeks ago. Like, now it's, like, in revival. It has a whole new, like, resurgence, like, in the last few years. People are, like, really coming to, like, embrace it again.
Well, how about you, Mark? Are you embracing it again?
I've always liked it. How dare you? I bought the, I had it on VHS. I remember having, I had that cool VHS. It's great. Is it a little slow at times? Yes, absolutely.
Sure.
But I just love the art direction is, like, perfect and... Yeah. I mean, Michelle Pfeiffer, and I'm so shocked incredible. That Danny DeVito was like got a Razzie, because I think he's amazing in this. I think he's so funny.
I
agree. Some of the dialogue is really like funny, and it's got jokes.
Yeah, Daniel
And the
Waters
action scenes are some of the like least interesting parts of this movie. Like, get back to them just like on a date. Like, that's that stuff's more interesting than like any like the action.
Exactly.
Watching a bunch of penguins waddle with.
I do love the penguins.
It's cute.
I'm never mad at the penguins.
Well, you don't blame the penguins.
No, no, no. But I remember as a kid, we're always thinking, like, when we saw in theaters, like, what's with the penguins, like, doing a procession? Like, what is fucking weird? But now, like, that's fucking awesome. And it does, there is something like hermetic, it all does feel like very soundstage bound and like hermetically sealed and a little almost like clinical in a way, but it's also beautifully rendered. It's like my favorite Gotham City, I think. Just because it's you just want to like live in it and like walk through those like that city square. It's just like so gorgeous.
Right. Enjoy the architecture.
Yeah.
I was watching it again last night, and I thought at one point, I thought, my God, all the it's the most beautiful looking of all the early films, and maybe of any Batman movie in a way. And I think the characters look so good. The design, the costume designs, Batman looks so good. Catwoman, perfect. The Penguin, like they're just perfect, even though they're not what you exactly, especially the Penguin is not what you remember from the 60s or from the comics or anything like that. But that Dickensian thing, and it just looked so, so good. The makeup, everything was perfect. I thought it was, I remember that thinking that when I was seeing it in the movie theater and then seeing it on home video, I thought compared to the first movie, which I love, and I love Nicholson and everything, but that one seems muddier looking. This one is really vibrant somehow, even though it's so dark. There's something about it that's really, that everything pops. The images really pop.
Well, speaking of pop, as you may or may not know, we're looking for the gayest movies ever. So we have a complex of Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. And at one point, you are going to come up with a category, and it will be added
to the wheel, or you could choose a pre-existing category.
Got it? Makes sense? Great. All right. So this is our current... This is our current top five gayest Christmas movies ever. Now, I have rejiggered it a little because I did realize... You'll see what I mean. Okay.
Okay.
Our fifth place for gayest Christmas movies with a 56.20%. Gremlins in fourth with a 65.21%. Die Hard in third with a 65.76%. Mean Girls, two very not Christmassy movies in the middle. And then second with a 66.49%. Meet Me in St. Louis. And God damn it, I'm doing it. Number one gayest Christmas movie with a 94.83%. And indeed, the gayest Christmas movie is Female Trouble.
Oh, hey.
If we include Mean Girls, we have to
Female Trouble is definitely a Christmas movie. I've thought that too. I never brought it up though.
Well, that's very helpful.
You're welcome.
John. Thank you. Now, Jason, I will say this: we have done Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, and Batman and Batman Forever is 42nd place with a 72.71%, and Batman and Robin is in 37th place with a 74.90%. So pretty high, those two.
So how do you, Jason, right now, before we go through the gauntlet, how well do you think Batman Returns is going to do?
Oh, God. I feel like it's going to come in below both of those, but
I think that's a fair bet.
I think that's my guess. I would always have assumed
Batman,
that. But.
I think those two, hence being directed by Schumacher, definitely makes a big input on that.
Yeah.
They're gayer, but I think this one is definitely like kinkier.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
It has a more aberrant energy, which has almost like queerer energy. While like the Batman Forever ones are gay and like a butts and one-liners in Uma Thurman right. way. Yeah, you know what I mean? Right. But they're not exactly like homoerotic. Not right, that this one exactly. is either, but this one is a little kinkier, I think, a little fetishier.
It's the kinkiest of them. Yeah. I guess we're going to get to it in a second. I think I know what you're starting with. So anyway, but yeah. So I don't know. Do I have to give you a number for where it's
going? No, just
land?
like a general guess.
Yeah. I think it'll definitely be below those two. So
61%. 61. Okay. All right. Interesting. Well, let's get into it.
Interesting. We'll see what happens.
You might be dead on. I don't know.
Who the hell knows? Oh, God.
If the audience fast forwards right now, you'll know.
They'll know.
Right.
All right. So let's get into it. So the first group of categories are the canon categories. So for these, we'll each take a score between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all three of our scores. So, Jason, what would you give Batman Returns on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters?
Oh my gosh. I was really trying to think about this. You've got some creative thinking to do. I think a couple people in the red triangle gang.
Sure. Like, yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
There's a sword swallower that he
right. never gets a night off.
No. Exactly. Doesn't want a night off.
No. Maybe some fur coat.
And then I wonder about the guy in the campaign office.
The image
Jan
consultant.
Hooks, the image consultant.
Yeah,
like,
I wrote
him
down too. Josh.
He's very put together and natty, and he's like, not a lot of reflective surfaces. He cares about his appearance a lot.
Sure.
I don't know. Nobody comes out and says it. I do remember that actor also playing a very stereotypically gay character on 30 Rock, which is maybe making me think of him as gay. But
I looked it up. He's not.
He's not. He's just a really
he's
good
that actor. Good of an actor.
He's so good. He takes parts away from actual gay people.
Oh, that's talent.
That's talent, baby. Worked for James Corden.
I'm going to say, aren't like some, I don't know about, in the animal kingdom. I don't know.
What about Chip?
Max Shrek's
son?
I thought he might be such
a muscle head. Like,
well, he's so
rude. Oh, there's no gag of dudes who are big muscle heads.
He comes off so like jock doy to me, and
He has that.
I might have been wishful thinking on my part. I will admit to that. But
he does
impossible.
A very funny. I like when he talks like Christopher Walken.
Yeah,
because it's very funny hearing him like emulate the Christopher Walken like cadence.
That's so funny. That's the first time I've ever thought of it that way. I always thought he was kind of doing Schwarzenegger light, because he seems like words don't really seem to fit in his mouth. He's like, "Come on, Dad, everybody's downstairs." he's a little I think he could definitely. He definitely could have a secret. All right, so let's
In Gotham City, everyone's got a secret.
Everyone's got a secret identity.
Well, then when you think about it that way, then
what about this though?
Okay.
Yes.
Sex and the City, New York is a character.
Okay.
Is Gotham City a character? Is Gotham gay? It's not gay. I mean, they love vintage.
They love a costume.
They love a strong aesthetic. Look, these statues of all these like men.
They love events too. They're always having a tree lighting, a party, a masquerade ball.
Yeah, those giant statues. Mm-hmm. Flexing
their
muscles.
Gotham City seems pretty good. Tunnels.
Lots of tunnels.
So many tunnels.
And trap doors. And giant human-sized bird cages down in the sewers. Yeah, it's this kind of the hottest club is Gotham City. All right. Well, then I'm going 40. I'm going 40.
40. I'll go 32.
32. Yeah, I'll go 27. Give an average of 33, which is 10.33 points lower than Malignant, another Warner Brothers goth fest. All right, our next category, gay icons. How are we doing on gay icons? I mean, I think we're doing pretty good.
We're doing pretty good. We got Michelle Pfeiffer.
Michelle Pfeiffer alone, I think.
Alone. Right. Jan Hooks is like a small role. Thank you, though, Jan Hooks.
She was the first SNL cast member like I ever like loved.
Yeah, I had such a crush on her. I just thought she was amazing. I loved
her.
She was
incredible.
Yeah.
Paul Rubens.
Yeah.
Pee Wee Herman.
Exactly. And of course, I think you guys have said this on the other Batman episodes, that Batman himself is.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Right? And Catwoman, even, I would say. There's something in there,
And I would say Danny DeVito is kind of doing a Harvey Fierstein impression this whole movie.
No.
Come on. He's a little bit. He is, definitely. Come on.
You think he's doing a Harvey Fierstein impression?
I don't know. I don't think he's choosing to do that.
He does sound like him.
But it's accidental. He stumbled into it. Yeah.
Yeah, Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein.
That well, that's
it. Also, you got Susie and the Banshees on the soundtrack.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. This is high. This is written by
Daniel Walters, who wrote Heathers.
Wrote Heathers.
Okay.
Yeah, that gives it that energy too, right? Yeah. Well,
I couldn't find out if Daniel Walters is gay or not, which I was the man who wrote Heathers.
You'd think.
But there's almost no, the lack of information in some ways is a bit telling.
Is telling. Mm-hmm. Did he bring his mother to the Academy Awards?
Inquiring minds want to know.
Did anybody invite him to the Academy Awards?
Daniel Walters wants to know. So waiting, checking that mailbox every March.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah.
So we got.
I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot. And like I say, Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman is such a, huge. Just like on her own. I'd say 75.
75. This is pretty much her movie, I would say.
Absolutely.
I want to see everything she's doing. When she's not on screen, I'm like, where is she? Let's see everything else.
She's mesmerizing, and she really should. I remember there was talk at the time, like, oh, will she get nominated for Best Supporting Actress? And people were like, no, if Nicholson didn't in 89, she's not going
she's to. She's not
gonna. But she's really good. But honestly, she should have been. You know what I mean? Now performances like this, every once in a while, do creep into the Oscars a little more. Mm-hmm. And I think she's super deserving. It's a pretty fantastic performance, especially the transformation scene, like what she's going through when she comes back from. Yeah.
Well, Marissa Tomei won for My Cousin Vinny that year. So are you trying to take away Ms. Marissa Tomei's Oscar?
No, not like everybody else in the Academy.
Let comedy win.
Let it win. I'll give it a 78.
78. I'll go, I don't know, let's see, 81. Continue that pattern. Giving an average of 78, which is 20 points higher than Popcorn.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, our next category.
All right.
Okay. The queer gaze. How much are we looking at some queer energy here?
I mean, Tim Burton's weird and quirky, but he's not gay.
The only thing that there's, I do think her apartment is pretty, feels like this is the gay man's paradise. Once she makes it over too, like once her makeup, once she like trashes it in spray paint and all that, all feels like this is the gayest thing in the whole
There's
movie.
There's something about like the close up of the dollhouse that where it's looking like, you know, as if everything is like is like the regular side and then the paint covers it. It does. It has a very.
There's also the part where she strokes Batman's abs and then gropes him and says, "There you are."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I felt seen.
You felt seen?
Yeah. Huh. She's doing what I would want to do, you know?
There's that utility belt.
Yeah.
So the big, I don't know. I don't know what counts as the queer. You know, I'm like, oh, the costume ball with all the giant masquerade and the Tower of Peace and stuff. There's something, it's just so, but I don't know if that counts as the queer.
It's definitely pales in comparison to the Batman Forever and Batman.
Yeah, to the Schumacher.
Right, because you don't have people actually like, you know, pulling, you know, like
nipples on things.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and it doesn't, for a guy in black rubber and leather, it doesn't fetishize.
It doesn't
Batman
feel
very much.
No.
Poor Catwoman is the only thing fetishized in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then DeVito, I don't know. I mean, they go out of their way. I mean, the Victorian underwear, the stained Victorian underwear.
Yeah. It's constant like, drooling.
Who is this for?
Yeah.
Somebody.
Trolls unite.
I don't know. I
don't feel like anyone looks like, I don't think any like men look sexy. Then I think like the person who looks sexiest in this movie is Michelle Pfeiffer, but I think it's for men. So it doesn't feel like queer to me.
Exactly. Right. Like, cause even Michael Keaton, he's not even put into the same kinds of suits he was in the first one or tuxedos. Yeah. He's got a lot of, I don't know, he's got a lot of ascots and, and sweaters.
Colder, and, you know,
right. He's lighter.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't
know. It makes sense.
Yeah,
but it could have just come from aerobicizing.
Yeah, people go to the sauna, gym shorts,
and a tank top, a crop top, maybe.
Yeah, that, yeah, and all the guys. I mean, I don't know. Are trench coats a thing? Is there something queer crazy about that? There's a lot of
Columbine
people.
Columbine killers. Well, right.
Not queer.
Well,
okay.
No, they probably weren't.
No, but you know, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of fedoras and trench coats at the Christmas think, tree lighting ceremony and stuff like that.
I wouldn't say Tim Burton
Dick Tracy-ish.
I wouldn't say Tim Burton has a queer gaze, but he's definitely got like a quirky gaze.
Yeah, he has a quirky gaze. Yeah,
he's next
it's
door.
It's a skew.
He's a
quirky gaze is 97. Queer gaze is like, I don't know, like 29.
29, fair enough.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'll go 27.
27. I'll go 26. Giving an average of 27.33, which is 17 points lower than Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, The Toymaker. Now, if you want a grotesque Christmas movie.
There you go.
There you go.
I have not seen 1 through 4, so
you don't need to.
It's a stand.
Doesn't matter.
It
reboots every movie.
Good to know. I do remember that was very scary. That the newspaper ad for Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Oh yeah,
kids. Right. The one arm with the axe coming out of the chimney. Very upsetting. Very upsetting.
Santa.
Don't like that at all.
All right, our next category: entrances with pizzazz. How are we doing on pizzazzy entrances?
I mean, this is 100. It's insane.
It's great. It, like just her flipping in. Every time she flips into a scene, the meow, that's fantastic. Even but everybody, like DeVito coming erupting through the floor in a duck in a
multiple
duck.
Times,
many times.
One time with a baby through a, you know.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, there's a well. That's a lot. That's just something interesting about the filmmaking. There's lots of. You know, the end of The Dark Knight Rises, they got Joseph Gordon-Levitt on a platform and he rises up and then they say, but this
rising.
Is like, there's a lot of, but there's a lot of that in this movie. There's a lot of people just appearing up out of the ground. Like there's a lot of staircases. Absolutely. But like Christopher Walken three times comes up out of, it's just like he's coming up out of the floor. There's like a staircase with no rails and he just walks up. Yeah, it's very devilish. And they all have that. There's a lot of that in this movie. But
I also like when the clown gang explodes out of the present. That's really
that's great.
That
pizzazz.
Huge present. That's pizzazz when he got confetti.
That's pizzazz.
There's
a lot
of
gifts.
Mm-hmm. And our first look 100. At Catwoman, we just see her in silhouette with a Hell Here neon sign behind her.
So good. Does Batman have any real pizzazz entrances?
The one I wrote down is when he like swings onto the comes down that wire into Arctic World.
Yep.
Yeah,
that was pretty pizzazzy. That's very Cirque du Soleil.
I even think the surprise ending where you see the bat signal and then her head pops up.
Yeah,
that's like in its way.
Like she was just tying her shoe and then
the story's not over.
Oh hey, what's this?
What's up?
Oh hey guys.
The penguin one is fun because it's like I love that it's like you see just little glimpses of him for so long before you finally see him like in his. Flesh in the
they
flesh.
Tease it
they te-
and even
you
that even
the,
yeah there's a lot of showmanship in all the little character reveals and stuff like that when he first turns around when Walken's been kidnapped and he's like he's been feeding the penguin's fish and he just turns around in that bathrobe and he's like hi, you know, that's there's something pizzazzy about that. Even it's not, you know, there's not glitter flying anywhere, but you know he's he's got there's something, there's panache. There's a lot of panache.
Yep.
100. I'm giving 100.
What 100 as well?
100. I'm gonna go 98. I think there's.
Oh,
I think we could do
reserving.
A little.
Okay.
I just wanted a few. I think we could have. I think there's room to grow.
Well, you're right. I mean, this is the only one. I know you said the thing about Batman coming in on that wire there, but this is one of the only ones where he doesn't crash through
like
a skylight, right?
That's like a shadow first.
Oh, no, we do get some shadows first.
Okay.
Yeah, John,
actually, a couple times back.
Right, look, I gave it 100. I don't know why you're yelling at me.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. That's right. Let's turn our wrath on. Mark.
Yes. Thank you.
Go for it. I got a 99.33, which is 1 point higher than Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. How about that?
Okay.
That's impressive.
That's impressive. All right. Our next category, the Mike Pence and anxiety scale. How much anxiety do you think this movie would give Mike Pence?
I'm like 97. I mean, yes, because especially if he was bringing his children, if he bought the Happy Meal for his kids and then brought them into the theater, I think he'd be like, oh, this wasn't what I bargained for. Yeah, absolutely.
Why is your suit so shiny?
Everything. Well,
all of it. I also wrote Walken plus DeVito. The two of them together are Donald Trump.
Well, yeah.
That's absolutely true.
Christopher Walken even at one point says, "You're fired," to Michelle Pfeiffer. So, like, there's no way this movie is freaking him out.
Yeah, and there's a lot of sex talk, and I mean there's innuendo, and then there's but then there's literally like, you're the pussy I'm looking for.
Yes.
You can get unlimited poontang. Christopher Walken says it's very Yeah, again, I wish
Marvel movies would like do something like have a little fun. Come on,
we're have an NC-17 Marvel movie. Let's do
it. But like, just even this is like PG-13. Just have a little cheeky innuendo. Big deal.
Just a little something. Mm-hmm.
Children will live.
It won't play in China. It won't play in China.
John's always defending.
I'm not defending, I'm just explaining.
Oh, I understand, John. I just don't like it.
Fair.
I just think there's a lot. Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that would give him anxiety. I think that just the idea of something that is perceived to be wholesome for families, for kids, you know, like my parents probably read Batman comic books when he was a kid, and he's like, oh yeah, just good fun. And there's a giant clock in it.
Think the aspect of like a dead mother would turn him off though? Like, would be like, oh, I can't read this. This is too horrified. Mommy died.
I don't think he thinks that parts of it. I think to him, Batman is the campy TV show.
Yeah, campy TV show, or it's those like comics in the 50s and 60s where it was just him and Robin
super friends,
around,
like
at amusement parks and stuff, solving crimes. So
I think he just likes like his. I don't think he likes any of it. I don't think he likes any comic books. I don't think he likes any. I don't think he likes Batman. Yeah, I think he probably likes stories of like, you know, Bible lovers, like, oh, we have to get around this tree that fell over in the woods. What are we going to do?
And then why do we need Batman when we have Noah?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, maybe he wouldn't. I don't know what he'd think of the Moses parallel at the beginning with the baby going down there.
Right, in the basket.
Offensive.
Yeah, I think it would be off the charts.
97. That's
97.
Below the charts, not off the charts, but that's
okay.
Fine.
All right. Well, then 101.
Can't do it.
He won't let you do it.
Okay.
What about you, John?
I'll go 90.
90. I think it's rough, but I think ultimately he's going to be fine. I'll give it a 60 because I think it's still pretty PG-13. And it's not constant. There's no like on-screen sex.
There's no like drugs happening. Yeah. There's no sex. Sure.
It's just a little cheeky.
Yeah, but when they start making it, when Michelle Pfeiffer licks Keaton's
face,
lips, and then licks herself, licks his mm-hmm. face, and then Keaton does that thing where he licks his lips afterwards, like he wants. Mm-hmm. Like I think Mike Pence would be like, "That's bad, it's bad."
You're wrong.
Himself. Imagine himself licking his own lips, and he's like, "I shouldn't." I shouldn't, mother. I shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. I shouldn't. Hey, but I got an 82.33, which is 3 points lower than Scream 2022.
Okay.
Wow.
All right, I think you're going to make up a lot of points with this next category. Hell on Heels. How are we doing on Feisty Ladies?
100. Hell on Heels literally sounds like a thing she would say. That sounds like it would be a line from the script.
Right.
I'm hell on heels. I mean, if you can say it as a line in the movie and it works, then 100.
100.
Yeah, I mean, you got Catwoman. You got Jan Hooks. You got the knife thrower dame. The Penguin's mother. She's just like, you're deformed. I'm going to throw you down the river. Like, yeah, you got to go 100.
You think she was feisty or just drunk and sad?
Well,
that they can all coexist.
One leads to the other.
They can.
That's a gateway.
And you know what she really did? Michelle Pfeiffer, when she whips those mannequins' heads off, she really did that. Like, she whipped three of them. There's like behind the scenes footage. You could see her doing it.
I remember that. Cool. I remember there was a Robert Urich hosted TV special that came out. Vegas fame. And it was like, and he gets out of the Batmobile. He's like, oh, let's take a return trip to Gotham. And it's like all the making of.
I did build the Lego set of that Batmobile, of the Burton.
Okay. Batmobile. How long did that take?
Five nights. It took me altogether maybe like 7 hours, 7-8 hours. It essentially took me all of, I watched season 2 of Pose while I did it.
Okay. Perfect. That's a great pairing.
It took a long time. It was honestly a fantastic pairing.
Yeah,
it's a bit.
I know you're making fun of it, John, but it was a great
I'm celebrating character. It.
Oh,
this is off topic. Best Batmobile, gotta say.
It's pretty fun.
The Tim Burton one is.
It obviously can't turn for shit.
No.
It's impractical, but it looks great.
That's why they have to have like a thing come out of the bottom. Like, you can't do a 3-point turn at the beginning of the movie.
Imagine trying to get to Dunkin' Donuts in that thing.
Forget it.
I do also like, you know, when like the parts fly off and it like goes into like a skinny so it could get for the wall. Does he go back and collect those parts? Because you would think that's like
Alfred
covered
does.
Is like identifying things. You know
I'm sure
I mean?
There's like a tag and they go back and send drones out to get it later.
Lucius Falk shows up and do it. Maybe
that sounds about right. Yeah. I always thought, I was like, well, that's it for that. And we never see that Batmobile again, right? Because then he goes in the speedboat and then and then it's Val Kilmer and a whole other thing, like an exoskeleton Batmobile. Yeah.
Right.
So I'm like, that
I do like the Tumbler. I like the Nolan one. I think the Tumbler's fun.
I do love
Tumbler's
that.
Fun.
And the new Batman one, Muscle Car, I thought that was pretty great too. I thought it looked great.
That was a fun car.
Yeah.
I like cool. how you don't love it, but that's fine.
No, but I don't
honestly,
love it.
The 60s Batman.
The 60s one, that's pretty cool. I would love to have that car.
Amazing.
That is a great one. I still think the Burton one is my favorite. I do think the Zack Snyder one, like everything else about those, just ridiculous. It's just, it's the Tumbler plus. It's just like more shit on top of the Tumbler. It just looks like a less wieldy version of that. And I'm like, just stop already. So yes, I do think the Pattinson one is an improvement because it goes in a different direction. Definitely.
Feels like the 70s comics, like the Neil Adams ones.
Yeah.
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 What are you giving it, John, for Hell on Eels? Did you say?
I said 100.
100. I too will give it 100. Giving it 100.
Yeah.
Tying it with Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown. Also could be the name of this movie.
Absolutely.
Oh, God. All right. The last of the canon categories. Jason, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend Batman Returns to a gay person?
100. But I mean, I think about this a lot when I listen to the episode. I'm like, why wouldn't I recommend it to a gay person? So are there criteria that would make it?
Well, to me, there's a sense of like, to me, what I think of is like, if as a gay person, you should know this movie. Or you should know this reference.
And who better than a straight man to tell us what we
yes,
should
see? Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I guess that's it. I guess I'm
but you know what I mean? Like, so it's like if, you know, like, if you had said, like, Jason, you are not gay, but if you were like, oh, I've never seen Wizard of Oz, I'd be like, oh, you should see Wizard of Oz. But if a gay person, like, if, you know, if Gregory Kuba, who we also went to college with, said, I'd never seen Wizard of Oz, I'd be like, we're going into this next room right now and we're watching Wizard of Oz right now. Like, nothing, you know what I mean?
And so, are so tense.
Yes, you're so tense. Let's
John,
listen to erotica first.
John's moves. Wow.
And then we're
all
watch
in the
Wizard
name
of
like curation.
Exactly.
Like, you got to see
cultural
this movie,
grooming. I mean,
okay. Your word.
Okay. I mean, I think I would still rate it very high under those criteria because I just because maybe because of the stuff we were saying before about the quirkiness of the Burton gaze, you know, the iconic
Michelle Pfeiffer's performance.
Just to see that performance, it's just so fantastic and so incredible. And I'm sure we're going to get to like, you know, I don't know if drag queen inspiration is a category we'll definitely get to or if that's on the wheel. But, you know, I just feel like it's all there. So, yeah, I'm going to say 96.
96.
That's high. Yeah.
I will say, I mean, to me, I would also just kind of be like, do you like superhero movies? Or, you know what I mean? Like, so it doesn't feel like essential. But I do think like of this group of Batman movies, I think this probably is the best one. I'm going to go 71.
71. Of these four, is this the best one? It might be the best one. It's definitely like the best looking, the best realized. But I do think Batman Forever is more fun.
It's crazier. The
crazier,
later two are
that makes
are
it
nutter.
Fun. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
I think this one's pretty good though. So I'll give it an 80. Give an average of 82.33, which is 5 points higher than Scream again, like we did last summer. all right, now we are into the wheel categories.
Spinning wheel. Spinning through.
So these categories are categories previous guests have brought in. They are now on this wheel, which is really an app on my phone. We're going to spin it twice. Whatever categories randomly pop up, we'll use to judge the movie. Then we also have a listener wheel where listeners have submitted categories. We'll spin that once, and then you will either come up with a category or you can pick a category that already exists on the wheel. It's
okay.
Up to you. Makes sense? Here we go.
Yes.
First spin.
Milking moments.
Milking moments. Does someone ever take a moment and really sort of like milk it?
I'd say all of Danny DeVito's.
Oh, all of Danny DeVito.
Absolutely. All of Danny DeVito. A good bit of Christopher Walken. Michelle Pfeiffer, definitely. But even in his underplaying, Walken does.
Yeah.
You know, he's got these takes, he's got these beats, these pauses where he's like really as if it's a theater performance, as if he's holding for the laugh. And I think there's a lot. Keaton doesn't really give us any because again, he's just like
right.
He's just keeping his head down. he's trying to hold it together. He's like, It's my movie.
Try not to let his freaks out. Just
like, yeah, exactly.
He's just, I like the idea of Batman. It's like, this guy dresses Batman. Like, I don't want anybody to know I'm a freak.
Yeah. Right. Need to be the voice of reason here.
Yeah. I mean, this is. Yeah, this is.
I mean, it's very like it is. It's a cartoon movie. So everyone's sort of a little bit, you know, vaudeville-y
I'm trying to think of like characters who are outside of the main four, and if
the Ice Princess, she's pretty fun.
Yes,
I like her a lot.
She's really, really good.
Pat Hingle not given enough to do.
No, criminally underused.
Given nothing to do in this one, really. And it's so funny because I always think I find these movies to be so much stronger than the Joel Schumacher ones. Mm. And when Pat Hingle would do interviews back in the day, and he'd be like, I just didn't get that Tim Burton fellow. I just didn't understand. He's on a cloud somewhere. And then he'd be like, yeah, Joel Schumacher, great guy. You know, like he was much more comfortable with Joel Schumacher. Actually.
That's funny.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's 85.
I'll
go 87.
87. I'll go 75. Giving an average of 82.33. Okay. Spin that wheel one more time, John.
There we go.
Dom sub power plays.
Dom sub power plays.
Isn't that all a Batman and Catwoman's relationship?
Basically, yeah, it's definitely. Every scene that they're in. Yeah.
Wow, the wheels be very generous to you.
Wow, it's really on your side.
Yeah, I mean, that could be another title for the movie. Dom sub power plays.
And then also the fetish of it all. You know, they're already
definitely all the leather, the whips. Yeah.
And even in the interaction between Michelle Pfeiffer and Danny DeVito, too. Like, right, he's trying to put the moves on. And then like, stop. And she'll like, put the foot in his face. And then he's just like, yes, yeah, mistress. And just sniffing the heel. I mean, it's so.
It's what it is.
It's just all over this movie. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go 90.
90.
Yeah, I'll do 90 as well. That sounds right.
90. I too will go 90. Let's keep it respectable.
Let's keep it
family. Please. Mike Pence is watching.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. This is now from our listener wheel. Not as many categories, but equally beloved and important. Here we go.
Let's pretend she's hideous.
Let's pretend she's hideous. Let me bring up this one. One second.
Let's pretend she's hideous. I've not heard of that one.
This is a new
one.
Oh. This is from Dennis Markham. Thank you, Dennis.
And
they describe the category. Do we have to suspend our disbelief and pretend the lead of this movie is a plain Jane? When she's played by Jennifer Lopez, are we expected to believe that Matthew McConaughey is just unfuckable? And they describe this as a subcategory of camp. Something completely out of place being treated like very... I mean, that's Michelle Pfeiffer in the beginning.
Exactly. She's like quirky and weird. And it's like, she's Michelle Pfeiffer.
She's exactly.
Exactly.
And also, yeah, I thought that apartment was nice.
I mean, it was pink. It was very, very pink. But it was well appointed. For the first third of the movie, that's her entire... her life is
she's got her art.
Beautiful woman who's just exactly. Yeah, the guy breaks up with her over the answering machine. You're breaking up with Michelle Pfeiffer over the answering machine because your therapist says to. Come on. I guess I have to, if I'm judging it on just how much of the movie she is considered the ugly duckling.
Yeah, because not
then it's like a then it's like a. Right, this is still out of 100, right? So this is like, and it's like a 33, but it's a 33. Big part of her origin story. So.
You gotta start somewhere.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go 33. I'll stay.
I think because it is like such a huge part of her story, I will go 66.
66. Oh,
that's good.
But I guess with most of these movies, like you can only do that like... if there's an arc to it, you know what I mean? Like it's very rare to have the, I guess it's less, unless it's like Charlize Theron on Monster where they keep you, you know what I mean? She doesn't get a glow up at the end of that movie.
Do you know what I think would actually probably be like a good parallel to this is just because we just watched Jingle All the Way, is like Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's like, I'm just a regular guy mattress salesman. And it's like, you're a huge bodybuilder. Right. Like, you're supposed to be from Ohio. You have this very, you know, it's like, we're supposed to pretend you don't have a thick Austrian accent. You're not, you know, like, right. You're just a regular, you know, like, it's that sort of level to me, like, would be another version of this category, which I actually love. I think this is super funny.
Very good category. Yeah.
I'll give it a 50, give it an average of 49.67.
All right.
I wish I had gone higher.
It's too late now.
I know. But I had the same thought John did, and I almost inched it up. But then
trust yourself.
Like,
you got to trust yourself.
I'm being too generous. I do most of the time. I have been.
And if you listeners would like to submit a category, you can find a link to the Google form in our show notes. So do it. Like, let your voice be heard.
Do it. Be a part of history. All right. So, Jason, now it's the time for you to either come up with a category, or if there's a category that you know on the wheel that you like, we could pitch you a couple of potential categories that I think would do well for this movie if you'd like.
Well, I had one thought going in, and then I was looking at the wheel and I was like, oh, I think my idea is already there, and I could tweak it in a couple of different ways. Okay. I think there are different things. One was animals doing things they should absolutely not be doing, reviving a dead person. Cats reviving a dead person, penguins, you know, walking around
the world missiles. Out of order. The things are nuclear attacks.
You think that makes the movie gayer when that happens?
I think it makes it more whimsical.
It's definitely campier.
Definitely campier.
It's an element of camp. So. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we would call it animals like doing things that surprise you or that they shouldn't be doing. We've got the bats killing
a woman. Like bats killing a man. It sounds like a segment on local news, like those unbelievable animals.
Right. Like penguins or pallbearers, as well as
animals with people jobs. Animals with jobs.
I mean... Yeah, that's what it was. At first I was thinking like, oh, animals wearing things that they should not be wearing. But you have anthropomorphism on there somewhere. Yeah, so does that count? Is it the same thing?
I mean, it's a category on the wheel. So in case if someone
this feels
pulled
different
both
enough.
Of those on the same time, that would be insane.
That's also humans labeling an animal.
That's
this
true.
Is an animal is actually doing something.
Sure.
Yeah, you got the poodle with the grenade going in. Sure. Like they're like doing big jobs in this movie.
Yes.
They're a crucial part of the economy.
Exactly. Yes. So I don't know what we should
call it. What do we call it? Animals?
We call it animals with jobs.
Animals at work?
Animals doing animals, stuff?
Animals at work.
Animals at work.
Yeah, right? Is that
works.
That
animals I mean,
work.
I think right. Also you have the Penguin, Catwoman, and Batman are like your, like all of your
They're
main characters are animals. Exactly.
Right. And that was the poster, right? It was called The Bat, The Cat, The Penguin. I mean, they were leaning into that. And then I think they do. And it's in a way that I never thought about before this last rewatch, where I was like, oh, wow, you got the organ grinder's monkey is also like.
Right. He delivers notes.
He's like going back and forth. I also had a category like called The Doolittle of It All, because so many people talk to the act.
That's true.
Michelle Pfeiffer has long talks with her cats. Danny DeVito is constantly directly addressing penguins with a monkey. I mean,
it's very Shakespearean. Really, yes.
Yeah. Talking to these animals like they're going to answer back. But no, I think Animals at Work is probably.
So what would you give Batman Returns in Animals at Work?
I've never seen more animals, various animals at work in different ways. I would give it, I'd have to say 95.
95.
Yeah. I think the only thing, maybe something like, what was it? Project X might do more.
Matthew Broderick movie?
Yes.
I'll go 97.
97. I'll go 90. I'll give it an average of 94. All right, now we're into the bonus categories.
Extra. All right, so these categories, as their name implies, are bonus. So it's just going to be 0 to 10, and it's going to be that percentage bonus points it gets. So if it doesn't do well in any of these categories, it doesn't work against the overall score. But of course, it doesn't help.
Thank you for reminding me.
All right, the first one, musical potential. Could you see Batman Returns being turned into a musical?
Yep.
I think absolutely, because there's not that many cast members, really.
And right? I think more so than any of the other Batman movies. I think it's just already got something
it's pretty
about
talky
it
already.
the characters are just so
the characters. You've got like a love interest and the sort of fun dynamic with there. Cause so like the love interest isn't just a woman sitting at home going, why won't Bruce call me?
Right. And they've got, and there's the, you know, the I want number. There's like Penguin actually like goes and points up to the sky. Like, I want to live up there. It's like every Disney movie. Like I want to be
very Little Mermaid. Yeah.
It just feels a lot.
And the opening credit scene, I just basically an overture.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where we just watch the little basket float down and go away. Like the whole, it just felt like an overture to me.
That's right. And I think there's so many. I think Michelle Pfeiffer would have a lot of, you know, Stritch like 11 o'clock numbers.
No, that's Pat Hingle.
I mean, and because Batman is such, like, he'd be like the kind of the Henry Higgins or the you know, like, or the you know, like the like King and I, like, he doesn't really do a lot of singing or dancing, but
no,
he's your, you know, you get a good looking
Alfred, do like a Rose's turn,
Alfred, maybe, yeah.
his moment to shine, maybe.
Yeah,
exactly. I wouldn't give him Rose's turn. I would give him the more I could not wish you from Guys and Dolls. Like, it's Rose's turn is like the big lead, like has their big emotional breakdown. Alfred's the more the one like, I wish you to, I hope you find love and happiness in your life. That sort of like sweet, sort of gentle character. That's more Alfred, I would say.
I guess I just want Alfred to get a torch song one day. One day, is that too much to ask?
We can do it. Who do you think he loves, Bruce Wayne? I guess that's the only way you got to go with this.
Probably. You know, his son.
Devoted his life, basically, to him.
I think
Christmas of it all certainly helps.
Christmas helps.
Absolutely helps. The big masquerade ball, that scene, that great scene about that. There could be a song about mistletoe that has a reprise.
That's the last ballad.
Mistletoes.
And then it reprises and they go, oh no, we switching each other's parts. Perfect.
It really does have musical.
They've tried to make a Batman musical for a while and just never. Jim Steinman was going to write the score and there's
wasn't some, with Meatloaf? Never, wasn't I remember Meatloaf had been.
Well, no, it was Jim Steinman. He might have done a workshop. Oh, maybe. One of the songs that Jim Steinman wrote for the Batman musical is on Bat Out of Hell 3.
Meatloaf does sing
one of those songs.
That's what I had heard. Yeah, I think it's has much greater, you know, but it's so Phantom of the Opera-y. It's much more than Spider-Man in terms of Superman.
Or Superman, yeah.
Those have the Peter Pan factor where it's like, we're going to fly the guy over the, you know, this one, you don't have to do any of that.
But don't you want to see Batman swinging around, though?
He could swing
around. You got to have Batman swinging.
You got swinging, sure.
You absolutely could. But what I'm saying, it doesn't rise and fall by that. You know what I mean? Like Superman, it's like you have him up there for like 25 minutes.
Superman doesn't need to drop Batman from the ceiling and it's fine.
He could have two or three entrances with pizzazz and then you're like, fine.
Done.
Ta-da.
Nobody broke anything.
This is a 10. That's 10.
A 10.
It's got lots of potential.
I'll give it a 9.
9. I'll go 9. Sure. Why not? Get Susie and the Banshees attached. We're golden.
Perfect.
Love that song.
I got a 9.33%. All right, the next one, Queer Menace. How are we doing on Queer Menaces?
Do we think the Penguin? I mean,
no, he's too horny for Catwoman.
Yeah, he's so lecherous.
I mean, they are like queer in like the traditional sense of like they're that's an he's odd weird. Duck, you know what I mean? But that's kind of everyone in Gotham City. A lot
that's
of ways.
True.
You have to really be aware.
Everyone
to
could
stand
potentially
out.
Be a villain at Gotham City. That is,
and
true.
Everyone is literally.
There's your
an
opening
odd
song.
Menace.
Everyone could be a villain. That's our setting this table.
I think. Yeah, I think if you play with the definition of queer in Queer Menace, you know, you can get somewhere. So I'll. I'll go 5.
5.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I guess
Catwoman's
when you think
probably
about like
the
Catwoman,
Queer Menace. Although Penguin does steal all the kids.
That's
to
true.
Kill them, he's going to like drown them, right? Wasn't he going to be
that's
the Pied Piper,
yeah.
Walking them off the little plank and the pool?
Are you saying that's queer?
Well, he wants to disrupt the heteronormative family. You know?
He wants what he suffered, everyone else to suffer.
Very
good.
Oh, that's very good. Why did I say 5? All right, go ahead, John.
You can change your score.
You can
if you
change
want
it.
To.
It's not a big deal.
Oh, that's I'm going. I'm going to make up for lost time. 8.
Wow, you weren't kidding.
I'm gonna go 6.
6. I gotta go 4 because they're.
I knew you would.
I love setting traps.
I knew you were like you're constantly like I gotta settle down, class.
Settle down.
settle. Voice of reason.
Voice of Reason is here. All right. It got an average of 6, which that's 1 point higher than Hereditary got in Queer Menace. Okay. And that had Paimon. Our next category. The character actress makes a big swing.
I think Michelle Pfeiffer really goes for it.
She's fun.
She absolutely does. The question is, would you give her character actress because she's...
But she's going for it.
A leading lady. But yeah, I think you guys had this discussion about Uma Thurman too. And there's no doubt, like, she right in your sleep. Yeah, I mean, it's huge. It's huge. It's a huge swing.
The Ice Princess is also funny. I like.
She's also funny.
I don't
too,
just like trees. I'm an actress. I'm as also well. An actress. But she's like trying to remember what order she does. The tree lights up.
That's pretty fantastic.
That's pretty funny.
That was fun.
I forgot a lot of, like, there's little quick asides that is funny. They had jokes. Daniel Waters. Good job.
Yeah. And Jan Hooks is so great. You know, voters like fingers. Our research shows us that's a great line. But of course, she's such a powerhouse. You'd like, you know. You wish
you expect her to go.
You expect that of her.
I mean, it's hard when you're like sharing the screen with the penguin, with Danny DeVito's penguin. How do you like draw attention to yourself? He's like drooling green ooze out of his
eating
the makeup chair
fish.
For 8 hours. Yeah.
I'll go a full 10. I mean,
a 10.
Yeah.
I'll go 8.
8. I'll go 8, sure. Give an average of 8.67, which is 8 points higher than Double Holiday, an awful Hallmark movie that we just covered on the Patreon. All right, you'll probably make up some points here in the next category. Macabre. How macabre is Batman Returns? It's mostly macabre.
It's pretty macabre. It's Tim Burton.
So macabre. It's, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, the penguin hands like a disembodied hand. Cuts off the hand of the business partner and hands it to him. I mean, that's right at the beginning of the film. I mean, yeah, a
bats,
baby tossed, everything. baby being tossed into the sewer because he's deformed.
Industrialization, evil corporations, probably the most macabre.
Webbed fingers.
Hey, people are just born that way, John. I don't think we should be,
but it's macabre.
Bats.
Bats again.
Black spray paint. Like,
ooh, the most macabre
the
color.
The goth girl remaking in her bedroom.
When she did, that's anymore, such like a teenager thing.
My sister did it when she was like 13, like painted her whole room black. Yeah.
You gotta cleanse the palate. You gotta go extreme. You gotta go extreme the other direction. But I was thinking, like, I wonder if they sell, like, you know, that kitten that pink kitten t-shirt she spray paints. They must sell that. Oh, so, like, I would see Hot Topic back in the day, maybe selling a reproduction of the spray paint.
That's a deep cut, though. Like, the just the
but
kitten.
If you know,
comic book fans love it's all deep cuts.
I know. You're right.
I brought up Mr. Zazz. Victor Zazz.
That's true. Victor Zazz.
I think it's Victor Zazz.
I think you're right.
That sounds right.
You're right.
Everyone look up Victor Zazz. Yeah. So, what do you want to give this for macabre?
10.
Yeah, 10.
Definitely.
I'm going to go 9 because I think Burton is like super macabre, but it does still feel a little theme parky. Like it feels like, I want to be in that world as opposed to like I would feel freaked out if I was in that
world. It's not Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sticking with my
story,
but I do see the distinction. Absolutely. I just like, this is just like Halloween. It's a Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, it's again, Nightmare Before Christmas, right? It's like Halloween and Christmas colliding for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 10, given an average of 9.67, which is 5 points higher than Pain and Glory. Omar movie, that makes sense. All right, finally, the last of the bonus categories, gay actors playing gay roles.
Well, we got rid of that guy.
Yeah,
right?
Josh,
the guy
played
from
by,
Josh.
He's played by Steve Whitting, who's married to a woman named Renee.
I don't believe.
That's a man. That's a man.
I saw his Instagram.
Rene Auberjonois.
Rene Auberjonois, that's what I was going to say.
He died.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
I saw Steve Whitting's Instagram. That's how far I went for this podcast.
Wow.
Thank you.
I think that's... I can't think of...
Now again, if it doesn't do well in any of these categories, it doesn't work against the movie.
No, sure. I think it's got to be...
It doesn't help you, right, Mark?
It doesn't help, but I can't think of it. I can't like make something up. I think
You can.
People have. John has. We all make
stuff up sometimes.
All right.
It's okay to be biased.
Do you think some of those penguins are gay?
Yes, absolutely. Penguins, I do.
They did say in the IMDb trivia that,
of course,
penguins did like have like mate in this, like pair up in this, which is a sign of when penguins
they were
are
content and feeling,
and
happy,
feeling
yeah.
happy. So like these aww. Penguins were very well.
So if, yeah, so PETA, if you're listening, they were taken care of.
This is the first time penguins PETA's heard of Batman Returns through our
probably. Yeah, right. Okay, I'll give it like two for like
two.
The gay animals who played themselves. The
penguins. I'll give it a one for the gay animals.
I'll give it a one for the penguins. Pride March of the Penguins? Where's that children's book? That's my
there's our $1 million idea.
That's good.
Okay, got a 1.33. Now we're into the iconic categories.
So these categories are wider, more large umbrella is reaching categories. So it's 0 to 225 points.
Wow.
All right. The first one, homoeroticism. How homoerotic is Batman Returns?
I was going to say the most I got was Catwoman and the Ice Princess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He handles her very
there.
Intimately.
Yeah. Girl talk.
She gets close.
Yeah.
That's about it.
It's even with the other woman, she like saves. She gets like very close to.
She's got a marker scent on them. She's a cat.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
Robin's not in this movie.
Robin's not in this movie. The Joker's not in this movie. That relationship with Batman is a very, you know, has the potential for.
Will they, won't they? Absolutely.
In all the iterations. And this is just not that.
I guess if you're like a Remains of the Day queen, then like Alfred and Bruce, there's maybe that sort of like repressed homoeroticism.
Yeah, it doesn't turn its head. You know.
Look, I am stretching.
You're stretching it.
You're gonna sprain yourself.
I mean, yeah, for that, for the fact that Alfred could be burning with quiet longing.
I mean, he could be, but he's clearly not.
But you just said he could be, but he's clearly not. So then,
I mean, anyone could be. Sure. You know?
Okay, well, maybe when Bruce turns up his nose with the Vichyssoise, maybe there's a little.
That was Alfred's cum. Is that what you're saying?
What the hell is this?
Your cold cum?
Again?
Yeah, at least nuke it.
Didn't we talk about this on Thanksgiving? 37.
I'll go 27.
27. I'll go, you know, for Catwoman, I'll go 30. Given a 31.33, which is 4 points higher than The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Now, see, that's my problem with Priscilla. It's not very homoerotic.
In a long time.
But I think you're going to make up a lot of points in this next category. Drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch this movie and come away with a whole book of ideas?
Yes. What is the top here?
225.
Yeah. I'm going the full 225 for Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman.
You got Michelle Pfeiffer. You got all those party scenes. Everyone's got stuff. Also,
you've got a penguin with a rocket. You could be a penguin with like a
that's what I said. Yeah. That'd be really cute.
Hey, girl. Yeah. I also was watching this. I was like really struck by how like the Batman character, it's part of his mythos to like, he changes outfits by riding a pole. Like his costume change is just like ride a pole and you're magically in a new outfit. And I bet a drag queen would love that if they could do that. If it could be that simple. Absolutely. I'm going to go 220.
220. John, what's keeping it from 225? If not this, then what?
I just wanted more gold lamé.
Gold lamé, you tacky
like
bitch.
If Bob Mackey had done like a Catwoman look.
But you
like,
could
just, like,
do
a
gold lamé version of the Michelle Pfeiffer. You know what I mean?
You could, yeah.
220. It's 225. I'm giving it 225.
All right, I'll give it a 225 as well.
Yes.
Giving it an average of 225, tying it with The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
All right. It's like a real dead heat.
Real dead heat.
Between these two movies.
You're probably going to follow behind here, though. The next category, Queer 101. How much of Batman Returns would you say is an essential queer text?
Oh.
The only thing I would say,
I mean,
is that this one like really leans into the duality of having to lead two lives, your one persona and having separate personas, but it's not really about that. You know, it's not like,
it's not like a gay person is doing that. Yeah.
It's not so like, you know, not that a gay person even has to do it. It's just like even
Tony Kushner's Batman. That will be a very prominent theme.
But you know,
it'll be 4 hours long and nobody will like it.
Yeah.
I remember with X2, they talked a lot about that with Bryan Singer's X-Men movies.
Yeah, did you choose not to be mutants?
Yeah, which was great. But I actually feel like the duality themes are so strong in this that you could make an argument. I mean, you did. You made an argument that is now a compelling argument.
I don't think like this category. No. But I think it's something. And also the Michelle Pfeiffer of it all. I do think you do need to know something. Although I think was taking a queer 101, this is like queer 501, maybe.
That's very
true.
When
we get to Batman Returns.
Right. We get to superhero movies. What do you think? Who do you think is the most iconic Catwoman?
Michelle Pfeiffer or Eartha Kitt?
I think Michelle Pfeiffer.
I think it's Michelle
Pfeiffer. I think of the movies, Michelle Pfeiffer is the best one, hands down.
I thought she was good too.
I don't remember anything that she did. I will say that. I only saw that movie once and I don't remember her in a way that I thought. Yeah. Who was the bat? Was Zoe Kravitz? I thought she was good too.
She was fun.
I thought she was good. I like Anne Hathaway more. A lot of people are like, okay, Zoe Kravitz has redefined the part. I'm like, no. Anne Hathaway was great for what those movies were. And not that Zoe Kravitz isn't, but I mean, I don't think even, and that's impressive to say when you did have Eartha Kitt and you had the
and Michelle
Julie
Pfeiffer,
Newmar,
and
Julie Newmar,
Lee Meriwether.
I still think Michelle Pfeiffer is the most iconic.
There's no like clunker Catwoman. You know what I mean?
That's true.
She's pretty good.
Except Halle Berry. But I don't even count
her. Is that her fault? You know what I mean? I don't think
it's not her fault. And she's also, didn't she have a different name? Like she wasn't Selena Kyle. Her name was Patience Phillips.
Patience Allure.
And there was no Batman in that world. So it's almost like she's an Elseworlds version. Yeah. It's not
fan fiction. Yeah. Is all she is.
Yeah. No.
Fan fiction.
Not canon.
Screaming at Halle Berry when you see her in a restaurant. Fan fiction. Not real.
Oh God. Where are we? What are
queer
we doing?
Queer 101.
Queer 101. For all the reasons you mentioned, Mark.
Please.
I'm going to go 75.
75. Wow. I should become a lawyer.
For all the reasons you mentioned, Mark, I'll give it a 17.
17. Yeah. I'll give it a 20.
What do you expect from me? What do I know about? I shouldn't be creating a syllabus.
I can create.
Clearly not.
Should I be a lawyer? Because I can create an argument that even I don't believe in. You know what
that's
I mean?
That's a good skill.
Exactly. Robert Shapiro, Johnny Cochran. There's a lot of people making arguments they don't actually believe in. Exactly. Yeah. Rest in peace.
Most politicians, am I right? These bums.
You are right.
We need more term limits. All right. Finally, the last of the iconic category, camp factor. How campy is Batman Returns?
I think it's really, really campy. I mean, and that's the thing is that everybody said like, oh, you know, the Tim Burton ones or the movies were such a sharp departure from the 60s series. And it's like, yes and no, you know, the tone is different and it is more
a different color palette, definitely
salacious and exactly. Darker in that sense. And it is more, but I mean,
but the dialogue is still like, and the plot elements are still outrageous.
Right. There's certain stuff you can't get away from.
Literally, in the TV show, the Penguin runs for mayor. In this movie, the Penguin runs for mayor. I mean, there's something that's very, you know.
Having little penguins with rockets. And like, were you interrupted? Yeah. We're jammed the signal. Does this plane why? No, who cares? You know?
Yeah. The heightened, everything. You've got like guys going, extra, extra, read all about it. Like newsies on the street. I mean, there's just so many things. The dialogue, there's so many things in this. I was like, well, if we get the quip category, this is one of the quip ones. And I don't know what it is. Daniel Waters has a lot of things where he likes to do like either little rhyming couplets or he likes to do, you know, like the opposite. So you should be chipping in instead of stepping out. You flush it. I flaunt it. How can you be mean to somebody so meaningless? I mean, there's something so arch in the dialogue, even when people are playing it totally straight, like there are all those little things that heightening is there. There's such a long
list. It does sort of like even that one point where Danny DeVito is getting pelted with like vegetables and booed and he's like, someone always brings vegetables and eggs.
Right.
And it has like every so often sort of like steps out of itself and is like, mm-hmm. We know we're doing a superhero movie.
Yeah, like the circus performers are always like sitting there silently, like arranged like a painting, like watching while Danny DeVito has a scene with someone. Mm-hmm. It's like really.
There's something shot. There's the shot in when like all of Penguin's like gang is leaving him and the shot of the poodle lady in her booth, like just like gliding back in the dark. There's something so like eerie about that to me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I
she
really
just disappears
like that
into
shot.
The dark. Yeah. It's
so
great.
Creepy in a way.
It's very sad. It's really, it's when really
your
sad.
Lady when leaves you. No,
I mean, just when everybody's abandoned. I mean, that's what I mean. It's like, it's so interesting how it works on both levels where it's like, this is ridiculous that like, to show that his family is leaving him, a circus performer like does, what does he do? Cartwheels or something out of there. And it's, but the music is gloomy.
But the
and
penguins have, never leave him.
No.
No.
And then they
raised
the
him.
Pallbearers, they take him down into his grave. And I'm like, this is maybe the most ridiculous thing ever in a movie. And yet I'm kind of crying. Moved. Like it's the villain who is disgusting, who's like shit his pants clearly and has black ooze coming out of his mouth.
He saw some play at Austrian University.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And penguins, like some of whom are clearly, you can see the stitching. Like it's like this like a little person in a penguin suit bringing him down into the water. And I'm like, and yet I'm like shedding a tear. What is going on here? Anyway, I think it's very, very campy in a delightful way. Maybe not as much as the TV series, but maybe in a different way than the Schumacher one. So I'm going to say 200.
200.
I'll say 185.
185. I got a quick list of campy things I noticed. Here we go. A doctor thinking your baby is ugly. A baby eating a cat being raised by penguins. Christopher Walken's line delivery. Max Schreck's photo with Sammy Davis Jr. Beating Santa with a sleigh. A man on a unicycle firing off a machine gun as he chases down a shopper. Batman straight up lighting a guy on fire. Anytime you get a camera flying through a gorgeous miniature set. Trick umbrellas. Having your Chihuahua Geraldo stuffed. Reaching your breaking point with a perfume commercial. Stuffing your stuffed animals down the garbage disposal. Really intense sewing. Making a meal out of visiting your parents' grave, accusing a sick nun of having morning sickness, a poodle dropping off a bomb, Bruce Wayne scratching like a DJ with a CD, a popular celebrity turning on the public, getting a message from a monkey, and finally addressing an audience of penguins. I'll give it a, I don't know, 187.
Yeah. All righty.
The pace they gave me, given an average of 190.67, which is 89 points higher than the most recent Scream. I don't know. The ones that are easiest in math always seem to be Scream. And for whatever reason. All right. Finally, we are into the crown jewel.
So these final categories, we don't rate. We just say yes or no. We think it gets it.
Okay.
The first one, a 50% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does Batman Returns have a positive portrayal of homosexuality?
I don't think so. I don't think it portrays homosexuality.
I don't think it portrays it in a way that you could.
I mean, the sword swallower does have dignity, but I don't think it's the main focus of the movie.
Yeah, even Mark Rennie, attorney at law, cannot.
I will not be making that case.
Yeah,
I'm going to stay on vacation. Not accepted. Well, yeah, it does not get it. Finally, very last guy, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Stonewall.
I don't know what these walls are made of, but this is not the movie Stonewall, so we'll not lose 50% of its points.
Exactly. This is clearly on a set. Those walls are styrofoam.
All right, that's it. We're done.
All right, Jason. So do you still think, now that we've been through it all, it's going to be around a 61%?
Yeah, I'm not that great at math.
The wheel was pretty generous. It did really strongly in a bunch of categories.
I feel like I wouldn't be shocked. I'd be more shocked if it was under 61 than if it was over 61. I'll put it that way.
That's a good bet.
All righty.
I'll tell you exactly how it did. Out of a total possible 2,455.93 points, Batman Returns has scored 1,758.60 points, giving it a percentage of 71.61%, making it the 53rd gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Jennifer's Body, but gayer than Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And only 1.1 percentage points lower than Batman Forever.
Okay.
Yes. All right.
So 11 slots away. So very close. Only a 1 percentage point difference. Very close.
Wow.
And that was with the wheel on your side.
The wheel was very much on your side.
The wheel was on my side, but I was looking at some of those wheel categories. There's a lot I could justify. I was reading. I mean, there's a lot of categories there. I was going through.
There's a lot
like,
going
what,
on.
What case can I make for? I mean, felt.
Got to be prepared for
a lot of felt.
Sure.
Felt doesn't come up as much anymore.
It doesn't.
People love, maybe we should bring felt back. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not opposed. I'll
don't
do anything.
Know.
John says no, everyone. You listeners, do you want us to bring back felt? Let us know.
We want to hear it.
Tweet at John. Fill up his DMs. Jason.
Jason, what a Christmas so gift fun. This was. This
tell us about your podcast, Opening Weekend. Yeah. What's the deal with Opening Weekend? What's the deal?
The deal with Opening Weekend is I created it with two other college friends from Hofstra, Fred Berman and Dan Matisa. We all went to school together. We all love movies, love going to the movies together. And of course, at the height of the pandemic, I was going through serious withdrawal, not being able to go out to a movie theater and sit down and watch something. The idea initiated with me, and I brought these guys on board that we would just choose a different opening weekend from like the last 40 years, from when we were little kids up until, you know, sometime in the last 10 years. And we would just have to watch whatever came out, whatever wide releases kind of came out that weekend, sit down together, talk about it, give our ratings, talk about where we were, like what we remember, whether we saw them in the theaters or not, or just what we were doing in our lives at that time. And so it's a nostalgia podcast and a movie review podcast, and it's ridiculous
great.
And a lot of fun. And John is very kind and has been.
I enjoy listening. You don't have guests, but I enjoy listening to it.
We have guests. We do have.
Oh,
guests
they do
sometimes.
Have guests, John.
Oh, so you do. Oh, so you just made it worse.
Not like you guys. Not like you guys. We're actually gonna talk. Our next episode, we're talking to Dave Itzkoff, who was a New York Times columnist and a writer, a biographer who did a really terrific biography on Robin Williams.
Oh, great.
And, he was on our show last year. We did a 1988 episode about Good Morning Vietnam. And next week we're doing Popeye, 1980s Popeye.
I haven't seen that forever.
I haven't watched it in so long. And I think I actually have to jump off of here and watch it tonight to get ready record. But
I wish like that was an I wish we both still lived in Astoria and I could come over and we watch it together.
And your shoulders do look tense, right?
Yeah, I still have the book.
Sure you do. Well, I thought you were talking about the Popeye book because I still do. I do. I have the Popeye, Robin Williams Popeye storybook from when I was like 10 years old.
Amazing.
I'm like, there's something about that movie. That is a campy movie, too. But have you done Popeye?
We haven't done Popeye. That'd be a great one.
Oh, maybe can I lobby to come on again for certain things?
No.
If you ever do the original Batman, or if you ever do a Superman movie, you've never done a Superman movie.
We've done Supergirl, but not Super. Yeah, none of the Superman.
You gotta get some Christopher Reeve action in there.
I don't think any of those movies are gay though.
The second one, they wear a lot of leather.
Superman 2 might have a little.
Superman
2.
I don't think so. Gay, come on, no. Phantom Zone.
No.
Superman 3, Pryor. Richard Pryor.
That lady, woman turned into the Brainiac lady.
The robot. That was pretty
scary.
Yeah.
Pretty scary.
But anyway, yeah. So that's our podcast. It's on, wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, all that.
We'll have a link in the show notes.
Yay.
Thank you. Everyone check that out. And thank you. Thank you for doing this. What a treat. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @2OldQueens, @TWOldQueens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie ranking.
Yeah, so you're going to email us at @2OldQueens, @TWOOldQueens. Let us know what you thought, if we got anything wrong, if we missed anything. We love hearing from you.
We got a Patreon, too, coming a big deal. Patreon.com/2OldQueens, where you get even more queenage.
Yes, called Tool Queens, the retirement plan. We also have merch. If you go to TeePublic and search for Tool Queens, there's a lot of fun stuff you can buy for yourself and your loved ones. The holidays are just about over, but you can just tell them you've ordered it and it's on its way. People love a gift card. And a percentage of all the proceeds goes to the Oakwood Project. So you're not just buying merch, you are helping people out.
And that's it. We'll see you next time.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah.
You recognize.
All your celebrations, your winter celebrations. Enjoy them.
We'll see you next time. Stay safe.
Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.